Hello there. Today we're going to walk through a hands-on lab for connecting the particle photon up to the SparkFun weather shield for photon using Microsoft Azure. So this is some pretty cool stuff here. If you're not familiar, the particle photon is a Wi-Fi development kit created by the folks over at particle.io, formerly Spark. So these guys have some really cool stuff if you check out their products offerings over at particle.io. Essentially, it's a programmable Arduino compatible microcontroller. So we can take this device, we've got analog pins, digital, and it's got Wi-Fi all on the chip, and it's the size of pretty much a MacBook, if not smaller. What's really cool is SparkFun now is making devices for Particle. So we've got this weather shield here, and it's really cool. It's got on board humidity, temperature sensor, barometric pressure. And it also has pinouts to connect extra things like soil moisture sensors and wind detection, rain detection. It's a really, really cool device. So you can really think if you put these two together, you can start gathering physical information about the weather going on outside, right? And what we're going to do is take this data. We're specifically going to look at the temperature and humidity data. We're going to pipe this up into Microsoft Azure using the Event Hub service piped through something called Particle Webhooks that's offered by particle.io. So to get started, first we're going to head on over to particle.io and we will go ahead and hit the build link here. So this will bring us to build.particle.io. If you don't have an account, you can just click down here to create one. I'm going to go ahead and log in with my existing credentials. And the first thing we're going to do once we're logged in here is we'll head back and we've got our account created. So now we have everything we need to get started with installing the Particle command line interface tool. So this is a node package, so it actually runs using Node.js. So we're going to need to install a few things to get this started. We'll go ahead and install the latest Node.js from Node.js.org. And we also require the latest version of Python 2.x, which is currently 2.7.10. Let's go ahead and install that. And we'll need the 2013 Microsoft Build Tools. And so we can get those here from the Microsoft Download Center. And once we've got all of those coming down the pipe and we get them all set up and installed, we're ready to rock and roll. So I've already got these on the machine, so I'm not going to walk through the boring step of clicking next on the installers. We'll just go ahead and launch up a command prompt. And what's really cool is after you've installed Node, it automatically adds itself to your path. You can test this by typing Node in any command window, and you should get this caret. And this is actually an interactive Node interpreter, so I'm going to go ahead and hit Control C twice to exit that. So we know Node is installed. And we're going to then call this npm install command, which is a package manager for Node. So this actually grabs things from an online repository. The slash g or hyphen g will install it globally. We're looking for a package called Particle CLI, and we're telling it what our Microsoft Visual Studio Build Tools version is. So remember, we installed 2013. So we'll just wait for that to successfully complete. And with that, we should now have the Particle CLI installed on our machine. So the first thing we're going to want to do is configure this to use the account that we have associated with particle.io. So I'm going to go ahead and get my credentials cached in there by typing particle login. And we'll use the same credentials from earlier. And boom, now we're in. So this means anything that I do within this tool now is associated with my particle.io account. So I can do things like see my devices online, configure them, and that sort of thing. The CLI tool is really powerful, actually. If you are curious what you can do with it, you can simply type particle, and this will give you a list of some of the commands. So you can do things like flash the device, you can even compile code, create webhooks, and that sort of thing. So first things first, what we're going to do is we're going to connect up to an existing Event Hub service that is going to have a web front end that listens to that Event Hub for events as they come through. And this is actually based on an open source project from Microsoft OpenTech. You can find this at connectthedots.io. It's a really cool project if you haven't seen this one yet. It allows you to connect a myriad of devices, either standalone that connect directly to Azure or devices that connect through a gateway. Technically, in this case, we are connecting through the particle surface, so it's sort of a gateway, although we're not using a hardware gateway. And the reason why we're doing this is the vent hubs, generally you want to send your data in a secure fashion, right? So you need to use HTTPS or TLS to send that over. So what we're going to do is have this webhook that's going to forward normal HTTP traffic from the device as HTTPS. And the reason for that is, if you think about it, these small devices don't exactly have the horsepower to run things like OpenSSL. And so it requires that we have something in between, a gateway, to send that data up into the event hub. And once it passes through there, we can do things like run streaming analytics on the data that's coming through, or even do processing using machine learning to learn about it. And of course, we can view the results of those in some apps and online dashboards. So we're going to use a web front end specifically in this project to see that data as it comes through. So to give you a little taste here of what's going on, this is the Microsoft Azure platform, and it allows you to create scalable services in the cloud. And in here, you'll see I've got quite a few things that are online, but specifically, we're going to look at this service bus that I've created. And you'll see within the service bus, we can create event hubs. And inside here, I have an event hub called EH Devices. And this is listening to data from devices, and it is then forwarding that over to the web portal. Well, if you think about it, really, the web portal is listening to the event hub for events, and then it's producing those in real time on a graph, as we'll see in just a few moments. So we've got a little bit of data in there right now, but you'll see a bit more as we continue on with the project. So the first thing we need to do is create a webhook service that interacts with that event hub. So you'll see what we're going to do is create a file, so just a regular flat file, name it webhook.json. I've already got mine canned here, so I'm going to go ahead and open that up in Visual Studio Code. And you'll just paste in the code from this walkthrough. So just go ahead and copy all that in, and there shouldn't be anything that you need to change. You can just go ahead and paste it in as is if you don't already have it. So I've got that in there, and what this is doing, if you look at it real close, is defining an event that we're calling connect the dots that speaks to an external URL. So this connect the dots EX service bus slash EH devices slash messages, which is really the REST API service that's exposed through Azure that allows us to send post data into it, where it can capture that as an event. So as long as we send this over with the time created, and random values to distinguish it, we can then pull that out into an external service. Of importance is this Azure SAS token section, where you'll see there's a key name and there's also a key. This is important for a couple of reasons. So Particle is actually implemented on their end that when you use this specific value, Azure underscore SAS token, that it'll use this key name and key to generate an SAS token to allow you to speak to the service. And we'll see that whenever we create our webhook. If you're curious where these keys come from, back in the service bus where we were, if we click here under connection information, and this has all been set up through the configuration, you'll see I've got a D1 through D4. The D stands for device. And if you back out of here, you'll see I can then create or grab connection information for these. So I've got my D1 connection information. I'll go ahead and copy that, and we'll paste that into. Whoops, looks like I didn't grab it all. Copied. And we'll go ahead and paste that into here. And you can see there's the D1 key, and you'll see the access key, which this value MBLQ, etc., matches exactly with what's in the code that we copied and pasted. So this allows us to have secure credentials basically to interact with that event hub. And so let's go ahead and get started by publishing this. So I've got this webhook JSON code loaded on my desktop, so I'm going to CD over to desktop, and then we'll do particle webhook create webhook.json. And you'll see here it's successfully created, and we have an ID, and you'll see it's also created this access token. That's the SAS token I was talking about. It actually uses the D1 key name and the MBLQ key to ask Azure for that access token, which then gives us the privileges to send over to the event hub. You'll see we've got the same success that we had here. And just FYI, you may not want to use a webhook after you've created one, so I'll show you real quick how to delete. First, you want to do particle webhook list This will show you all webhooks that are currently active. And so I've actually got two connect the dots webhooks, and that's okay. You can have multiple events and that can do different things. One could maybe post to service A, the other one post to service B. But just for sake of this demo, I'm going to go ahead and delete the first one we had created. So I'll type particle webhook delete, and then what we're going to do is grab the hook ID from that service, and then we can paste that in and successfully delete it. We can then verify that with particle webhook list, and you'll see I've gone from 3 to 2 webhooks. So we've got all that set up, right? Now we want to get to the really fun part, assembling the hardware. And thankfully, due to the way that SparkFun has designed this, it's not too difficult. We actually can take the particle photon and just press it right into the socket and make sure that everything's lined up. If you look really, really close, you can see the pins match. It'll say D0 here and D0 on the board itself. So make sure you have the orientation correct, or you could fry the board, or even worse, fry your particle photon, and you should have something set up that looks like the image or what I've got here. So once we have that, we're going to go ahead and get this guy configured. So I will go ahead and plug up USB cable into this device, and the device should turn on. If it's never been used before, you should go immediately into what's called serial mode. This device has been programmed before, so it's going to try to go online. And I want you to kind of notice the difference here. When it's online, you get a light blue, a cyan color. What I'm going to do is hold this button here, setup, the button on the left. I'll just go ahead and hold that for a little while until this turns dark blue. And what that means is that it's now in serial mode. So it's actually listening as a serial device at this point. So what I'm going to do next is find out which COM port it's actually listening on. So we'll open up Device Manager, hit the Windows key, type in Device Manager. And inside here, I've got ports COM and LPT. And you'll see I've got a device that just popped up on COM 4. And we can verify that by unplugging this and plugging it back in, but I know it's on COM 4. The first thing we're going to do is run a command to get the identity of our device. So we're going to use a command, particle serial identify. And I do want to say there are other ways to do this. Normally through there, you can actually configure this device through Wi-Fi, but I did find that in this edition of Windows 10 I'm running, it was necessary for me to do this over the serial. So this way it can help you even if the Wi-Fi is not working. So just FYI, there may be other ways to configure this device. I just kind of found this one to be the easiest path with what we had today. So I'm going to type particle serial identify and then COM4 because we found our device on COM4. And this will respond with the device ID. So it says your device ID and gives us this number. So I'm going to go ahead and mark that, copy it, and we'll save on onto that for later. So paste that into a little document and we'll come back to that in just a moment. The next thing what we're going to do is set this up to connect to my home Wi-Fi. So whatever Wi-Fi that you want this to connect to, you can actually set it up to do that. And what it's going to do is write to the firmware so that anytime the device comes online, it's actually going to dial into that particular Wi-Fi, and then it's going to call home and be online. And we're going to see what the effect of that is when we get into the particle build editor. So to set this up, we'll do particle serial Wi-Fi COM4. And this is going to ask us, should I scan for Wi-Fi networks? I'm going to tell it yes. And I can select here from the variety of networks that it sees. DiCarlo is my home network, so I'll select that. And it says, should I auto-detect the security type? I'm going to say no for now because I know I use WPA2. Just want to make sure it does that. And I'm going to type in my Wi-Fi password. And you'll see what this does. It actually writes over serial into the device. It's going to write those credentials into there. And now the device starts to flash green. This indicates that the device is connecting online. And when we see that light blue breathing on the LED, that means it is online. It means it has connected to the particle I/O backend service, and we'll be able to see it in the particle build editor that we're just about to jump into. So the next thing we need to do is claim the particle photon device. And I thought this was a really clever solution on behalf of the guys at Particle. You hear a lot with Internet of Things, like how do we implement security? And so previously when we got that identity, That's actually a unique value that's stamped out onto this device at production and can't be changed for all purposes because it identifies this particular device. So I know that this is that device, right? So if I wanted to program it through a web portal, I'd want some sort of security to ensure that someone else isn't able to program my device. And this allows us to do that. So what we're going to do is head to the build tool, particle build.particle.io. And down here, there's a little bullseye section that says devices. We'll go ahead and open that. Hit add new device. And it's going to ask for the device ID. So we'll go ahead and claim that identity that we grabbed before, paste that into the window, and hit claim a device. And now we can name it. So I'm going to go ahead and name this guy particle, let's see, weather shield. I'll just name that particle weather shield 2, since I've already got one with that name. And you'll see that I can then select this device as the device that I want to be the active device for flashing. So hitting this little star over here makes that the device that when I send code over, it's going to go to that particular device. So the next step, now that we've got our device claimed, means we can program it. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is create a new program inside here so we can hit the code over on the left. And first thing I'm going to do, I'm just going to remove the existing one. So you've got this remove and create app, right? So we can go ahead and select apps from here or create new ones. And so from here, I'll go ahead and hit create, and I'm going to call this particle weather shield. And this creates a new app. And you'll notice that what it's created is very similar to the paradigm you'll see with Arduino. We've got a setup and a loop, and that's because it's essentially the same thing. So with the setup pattern, generally you have things where you need to set them up one time. For example, initialize your sensors, or maybe you need to grab a key from somewhere. And then we have the loop, which runs indefinitely. So this is basically the worker process that runs on the device. And it's very basic, but that's just how this works. So the first thing we're going to do is when we look at the SparkFun Photon weather shield information, we see that it has a feature for the HTU21D sensor. And interestingly enough, there is a library that's already available in the particle build that can allow us to interact with that sensor. So what we're going to do is head here into the particle build and hit the ribbon looking section here that says libraries. We'll just start typing HTU, and you'll see there it is, and go ahead and click it. And this is going to show us the library. We are presented the source code, so we get the CPP, the .h file. And then I've also got this INO, which is pretty much some example code. Most of the libraries follow this pattern, so if you're curious on how they work, or if you don't want to know how to use the example, it's usually in the INO. And then if you want to view the source to really understand what's going on, or perhaps you want to copy it out and modify it, you can view that here as well. So then I'm going to click the Include an App button. And we'll select the particle weather shield. I'll go ahead and add this to that app. And you'll know you're successful because it should write up at the top, this include statement was automatically added by the Spark IDE. And so then we have the pound include HTU21D slash HTU21D.h line. That means that it has built that appropriate binary into the firmware that it's going to send down to the device when we program it. So from here, we've successfully included the library. We're now going to add our own code. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this code from step 4. And we're going to actually overwrite everything, just paste this over. And real quick walkthrough of what's going on here. I've got the HTU sensor that I'm initializing. Then I've got these variables that we'll actually use to send data into the web portal. So this is going to identify our device. So if you've looked in here already, you may have noticed there's Paul's hot tub and the temperature average. So we're going to go ahead and give this a name so that we can identify that particular device as its information comes through. So we'll call it Particle Photon plus Weather Shield. And I'm going to give it my location, Houston, Texas. That's really all I need to change here. Everything else remains the same, but just to walk you through the code, you see we start the serial. So if we actually had a serial USB cable plugged in, we could listen to the device and determine whether the HTU21D is found or not. And we're also setting it up, so we're making sure that it is there. Then we enter the loop once we know we have that, so we can begin reading temperature. And we begin reading that in Celsius, which we convert to Fahrenheit. Then we also read the humidity, and we create one payload for each of those readings. So one for the Fahrenheit and one for the humidity. And these are JSON payloads. And you may be wondering why some of these numbers are being used. So the payload maximum size is 255 bytes. So we are creating a max size payload there. And you'll see that I'm sending this JSON over. And you can look at how this maps to the webhook that we created, where we've got subject maps to something called S, and I've got a variable in this JSON payload called S. Reason we're using these single variable or single letter variable names is that we don't want to exceed that payload size. Remember, 255 is not that much, so we want to kind of make this payload as small as we possibly can. So we're shrinking it down, but you can see webhooks allow us to do mapping that can connect us over there. And again, might be easier to see this in Visual Studio Code. And this creates a JSON payload that we then feed with the Fahrenheit and humidity values. And these are sent up to the Spark webhook service using the Spark publish command. So this calls spark.publish the name of the event and then the resulting payload. You'll see this event matches the event name that we gave our webhook. So once we've got that all taken care of, we can verify that the code compiles by hitting the check mark over here in the upper left. Good news, it says code verified, great work. And once we've got that, we can then hit the lightning icon to flash the code to the device. So you'll probably want to check this out on the camera. Once I hit the flash device, flash button icon, it's going to make my device flash magenta, which means that it's received the code. It's now writing it and rebooting. You'll see the green light turns on, which means the device is coming back online. And from here, it's going to be online, and it's actually going to be sending that data over. So we can verify this a couple of ways. So we can monitor through our event hub. I'm actually going to put another device online. And you'll see that we can monitor that this events are actually publishing through the webhook. So one way to do that is through the dashboard in particle.io. So I'll click this. Once the device comes online and we're logged in, you'll see a device data coming through. So we've got the particle weather shield is sending data to connect the dots. You'll see Paul Hot Tub and Paul Office are also sending data through here. And similarly, if we wanted to view this data in the command line interface, we can do that as well. So we can come down here and type particle subscribe mine. And this will listen to all of our events. I've currently only got one event being published to, so if you wanted to just listen to that specific one, you can hit Control C to cancel that and do particle subscribe and the name of the event. So in this case, connect the dots. And we're going to get basically the same result because we're listening to the same event. So we can see that data coming through. And this is good news. This basically means that we've got everything up and running. Our plumbing should be working. And we can now verify in our existing portal by heading to connectthedotsdx.azurewebsites.net. We should see these devices online and their data publishing into the portal. So remember, I've got a variety of devices here, so there may be a little bit more busyness depending on when you connect into the service, if other people are connected to it or not. You'll see there's the particle photon plus weather shield popping up on the left for both the humidity graph and the temperature graph. And we should see that data come in any moment now as soon as the WebSocket begins receiving that data. So here we have the photon weather shield in blue in the top graph for humidity, and in green on the bottom graph for temperature. And so what's really cool, if you watch this after a while, this temperature average about every 10 seconds, this orange line is going to be calculated to draw the average of all these devices, the hot tub and the bedroom. And we can really quickly look at how that works. Over in the Azure portal, I can head into my streaming analytics services. And you'll see I've got a service called Connect the Dots Aggregates. When we click in here, you'll see that this takes inputs from something called Devices Input that is listening off of that EH Devices event hub that we showed earlier. And it essentially runs a SQL-like query syntax against the JSON payload, basically grabbing every 10 seconds using this tumble window. It averages all of the values that are coming through there from all of the devices. So you'll see here it grabs the max and it grabs the average, and it then outputs that into the event hub. And so we've got this web portal that's sitting there listening to those event hubs, and as a result, it gives us this aggregate result. And so we can operate on this data in real time. So it's really cool stuff. So long as you've got devices appropriately sending data, you can always come back in here, refresh, and see that streaming analytics service query executing in real time. So we'll wait a moment here for that to run again. So see, here's all my devices. It's starting to grab that data since it's listening to the event hub. There goes the particle photon weather shield has chimed in. Temperature average has been computed, even though we don't yet have much data. There's the particle photon weather shield. And you'll see there's the hot tub. And we should see this line should start to draw pretty much right in the middle there, right, since it's computing the average. There it goes. So you'll see in real time that is being operated on. So it's really cool stuff. If you are curious on creating your own portal, you can follow the instructions for connectthedots.io. My colleague Brett Statham made some really, really good hands-on labs for those that show you how to create the back-end components. So for example, how to create the event hub, how to create the streaming analytics jobs and the storage account necessary. So you can follow that link here to create the backend that's necessary to plug into the sample website, which those instructions are also below. And this website will create the portal that allows you to see this data in real time. So essentially, you can make your own version of this here by following these instructions. So connectthedots.io is a huge project, and there's really a lot of things to go on into. So I don't have time to cover that here, but you can, if you have this hardware connected, you can go ahead and get a taste of what it's like to use Azure and Event Hubs, streaming analytics services, storage, and all that sort of thing to get your IoT devices connected up into the cloud. So I hope you guys learned something really cool and interesting from this. It was a real pleasure and fun putting this together. What I'd really like to see is some other ideas. So I know that this weather shield has all these sockets here for things like soil moisture, as well as we can do rain and wind detection. It'd be really cool to build something maybe like a sprinkler system that can go to web services and determine the temperature for the day and appropriately water your plants, you know, when needed. So basically having like a smart system. I don't know. There's all kinds of cool stuff you could do with this. Maybe connect it up to a point of sale system if you're selling something that is contingent on temperature, for example, snow cones or something like that, or ice cream. We could get some really cool data out of that. So if any of you guys do come up with some cool ideas, feel free to send those over. I am taking requests now for IoT projects, so perhaps we could see that implemented in some way. But until then, thanks for watching and happy hacking.